Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Very excited for our guest right now. Mariners starter George Kirby joins us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. George, Jake and I are obviously excited to have you on, though maybe not as excited as your cheering crew who was at your debut. I mean, have you been able to chat with a lot of them since then?
Yeah. A lot of friends and family. It was just awesome to see them all. It was definitely over like 150, 200 people there on Saturday. That was pretty cool. Cool to see them all.
Now, George, I know that, you know, it's, you could say that both circumstances were the same and you tried to treat them the same and all that, but your first start at T-Mobile, I mean, amazing emotions, but then being able to go home and play in front of, you know, your family in New York, I'm sure had to have another wave of emotions. What have these two starts been like for you?
Yeah, they've been, I mean, I really couldn't ask for a better, like how it lined up, you know, throwing it home on Mother's Day and then going to New York for the next week for my second start. Yeah, it was just crazy. Pretty pleased with how I did. You know, I'm just last start was a nice learned lesson for me, so I'm just gonna take that and, you know, go into the next one.
So, George, as you were walking to the mound in both of those circumstances, you mentioned these amazing emotional, you know, moments that you got to experience in your first two starts at the big league level. You know, how have you tried to handle that? You know, being such a young guy, obviously being confident in your stuff, but how mentally, how have you tried to handle that?
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing for me is just, you know, focus on my breath and just trying to do things one step at a time, not think too much. So just breathing, getting that under control has been super helpful on the mound. Definitely, you know, just calm me down a bit with all the adrenaline going through my body. But yeah, I say that was the biggest thing for sure. And, you know, just trusting who I am and doing what I did to get up here. So I'm not trying to change who I am as a pitcher, you know, stick to my stuff, use all my pitches, and yeah, go from there.
Is that kind of what happened? So you had back-to-back starts with 3-0 counts to the first batter. You obviously were able to battle back. I mean, is that the same mindset? Or do you ever get like, we've talked to your teammate Logan, who gets kind of like a different personality out there. Is that kind of what you do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, obviously I'm not trying to go 3-0, but I'm very good at coming back in the count when I'm behind. So I'm just, you know, my ability to command the zone has been pretty good these last couple of years. I really hate walks, so that's one thing I really try and limit. I just want him to swing and, you know, get the ball in play and let my teammates make a nice play. So that's kind of what I'm focused on. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I say it because it's impressive. I mean, it's something that, like, you would expect with any rookie making a debut is you're going to get behind in those counts. But to be able to battle back twice and get that mindset is very impressive. Like, that's no small feat. I wanted to speak specifically about one pitch, your grip on your slider. You've mentioned putting a little more pressure on your middle finger. Can you talk a bit more about that?
Yeah. Kind of this last 2 years, you know, I was really focused on sweep with my slider. And for me, it just didn't really feel natural, and I wasn't able to command it as well. So in the last month or so, I've really just honed in on just throwing it more like a fastball and just applying more pressure to that middle finger and allowing me to throw it like a fastball. And it allowed me to throw it harder, you know, 88 to 91. And, you know, it still has a similar movement profile. But the biggest thing for me is just command with that pitch. And I'd like to use all my weapons in any count and, you know, come back in counts and try and get a strikeout. So that's been the biggest thing, just trying to command the pitch really well.
All right, George, there are a lot of impressive things that we have seen from you as of late, but I got to tell you, man, what is super impressive to me is that you had your boys, you had your friends showing up for you in a major way, and not just like one or two guys. I mean, we're talking about guys from college. We're talking about guys from elementary school. I mean, George,
ridiculous.
We've all had friends that we have in elementary school, high school, college that we never talk to again. How have you been able to keep up with all of these guys? Is it a group chat? Do you have friends that keep up with you? Are you very thoughtful? Like, how have you pulled this off, man?
All my buddies from elementary school, same with all my girlfriends. Like, we all have a big group chat together, so we always stay in touch. Whenever we have a chance to get together when we're all home, we do that. It's just great to see all the support from my buddies throughout all these years. You know, I've gotten to battle with all of them during high school, college, so it's just really great to see them all come together and show me that support. Really appreciate them.
That's awesome.
George, I hope you noticed that Jake not so subtly asked, how do I be more popular? George, how do I get more friends? That's what you just asked our
Stacey,
guest.
Why'd you got to call me out like that, okay?
George, did you not hear that? Did you not hear? That's what he asked. He just said,
yeah,
how do you have some? Thank you. That's exactly what
come
I heard.
Come on, George. Come on.
Look, we're trying to be more cool, George. It's a failing effort. In fact, I'm so glad we have you here. Our producer today, Brady, is the same age as you. You guys, you're 24, right?
Yeah, 24.
So Jake and I need to be cooler, and unfortunately we're millennials. We're a little older, so like, can we still tell us if we can still say a couple of these things? Okay, you're our Gen Z plugged in person. Can we still say something? Can we still say something is bomb? Like, oh, that's bomb.
Yeah, that plays still,
right?
I don't use it a ton, but yeah, you could say that.
Okay, what's something that we would say if something wasn't cool? Like, oh, that's
I don't know. There's a lot of things going around. You know, anything really works these days.
I hear mid a lot. Mid, is that what the kids
yeah,
say?
Yeah, I've heard that.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. I'm gonna roll with that. Okay, so
George,
I can still say bomb.
See,
I'm definitely gonna say mid. No,
here's
let
the
George help me, Jake.
Gosh, George, I'm sorry. This is Stacey is a millennial who's trying to still stay plugged in with the younger crowd.
I am plugged in.
And it's a failing effort. George, I'm going to save you from that conversation, okay?
You're welcome.
And now, thanks to you, Stacey, all she's going to do is say mid. But
<That's true. laughs>
as you've been going through this and you're studying and you're going through your process from these last two starts, how fun is that to then get into that next level, right? You know, people just look at it about, oh, here's, you know, your strikes and your, you know, balls and strikes. What kind of pitcher are you? Your fastballs, your off-speed stuff. But what about the strategy of that and getting to that deeper level of sticking to your stuff, but also being able to adjust how hitters are approaching your stuff?
Yeah, you know, over the past years, I was pretty heavy with my fastball. And it was more like usage was like 50 to 60%. This whole season during spring training, I really just tried to hone in on making my usage a toss-up for the hitters. I just really want to be able to, like I said before, just throw any pitch in any count to get back in the count or whether to strike someone out. So recently I've been more like 35 to 40% with the fastball, like 27 with the slider, 23, 25 with the changeup, and like 17 with the curveball. So right there, like, that's a great usage for me, mm-hmm. and I want to continue that. I mean, these last two starts, I did throw a little more fastballs than I'm used to, but it was something I talked to Torrens about. You know, they weren't putting great swings on it, so you might as well just keep pounding that that pitch. But yeah, like I said, the usage, trying to make it a toss-up has been big for me.
Yeah, George, so that stuff fascinates me as you're talking about percentages and you've got it dialed in and you know it very, very clearly. Is that a feel thing as you go through the game? And, hey, if a couple pitches are working great for you and you're getting great results, you stick with them? Or is it very meticulous as you go through and say, hey, you know, maybe my percentage usage of this particular pitch isn't right where I want it to be, therefore mm-hmm. I'm gonna start attacking that the very next inning? Like, How do you manage that in your head?
Yeah, I just try and, yeah, just make it a toss-up, like I said. But, you know, sometimes your game plan has to change. So you kind of just, you know, you read the hitter's swings and stuff like that. You come back in the dugout, talk with the pitching coach, go over the next three guys, see what you need to change up. But, yeah, like, especially like my curveball, you know, if I'm getting a really good bite on it, that's something I'll start using more later counts to try and get the swing and miss. Same with the changeup or slider. You know, if I'm getting more bite on it, I'm starting in the zone better, and I could backfoot it. That's also a great option. Or if I'm seeing a guy not going for that, I could go up and in on him. So a lot of stuff changes with that.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, George, one of the things that I was also curious about is, you know, you've come up to the, you know, the big league club, and you've been here for a week, you know, or so, and obviously you're around the guys in spring training, but who have you been able to kind of lean on for advice and conversation amongst the pitching staff?
Yeah, Logan's been great. He's been a good friend of mine for a couple of years now. Flexion and Marco, they've been really great too. Just, you know, give me advice. On like certain pitches, like what things guys are looking for. Robbie's been great too. Just him and Marco, those guys are vets, so it's just good to see him go to work and just try and get any little bit of advice you can out of them. So it's been great to be around these guys for the week or week and a half I've been here.
Hey, George, you and your brother, this is interesting, grew up as like fans of different teams. Your brother was a Mets fan. You grew up a Yankees fan. Was there some conflicting family interests in this last series? Was he giving you a hard time or vice versa?
I don't have a brother, actually. I got two sisters.
Oh, two sisters. Oh.
Well, that is talking about scouting reports, Stacey.
I know. I had a scouting report.
George, so we're last question from me here, and we really appreciate the time that you've taken with us. But, you know, as you go on and you're continuing to, you know, get your next start and everything else, what are you excited to do the next time you hit the mound?
You know, just make it past the fourth inning would be nice. The Mets really just challenged me. You know, just trying to get strikeouts, and they were swinging a lot of stuff and fouling it off and really make me work. So, you know, just getting into the fifth or sixth this next week and just giving my team the best chance to win.
All right. He is Mariners starter George Kirby. George, thanks so much for taking the time. We also really appreciate you being so specific about your pitches. I think listeners are really appreciating that. It was some fun insight. So,
yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thanks, George.
Appreciate it.
Wow. Was a great interview by George.
Hey, Stacey, would the kids
really,
say...
That was a very mid question on my part.
That's what I was just about to say.
Very mid question on my part.
Oh,
my God, that's what someone said. They said Stacey's interview question is mid. Guys, wow.
Stacey,
Let me tell you what.
Whose scouting report are you looking at right now?
I'm not going to say, but if George was a real friend of mine, he would have said, yeah, he's a huge, huge Mets fan. Stacey.
Yeah, my brother that I don't have, he's big time Mets.
All right.
Big time Mets.
Are you done?
No.
Are you done?
I'm not done because
are you
the horror on your face was priceless.
I already know Curtis is just so livid. He's texting me right now. This hour,
I tried to bail you out. I tried.
And you really tried. I just looked at you and I was like, what do I do? What do I do now? How do I dig out?
I was waiting for you to, you know, come up with, you know, something really
quick. Can you imagine if I was like, are you sure?
No, I'm looking at it right here. It says you have a brother.
Are you sure you don't have a brother? This hour, Jake and Stacey, is brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. Let's get to Four Down Territory.
So good.
This is Four Down Territory, brought to you by Genuine Auto Glass. Going inside the game with quarterback guru, Jake Heaps.
Jake Heaps played in the NFL, played quarterback, was in the room with him, was in the fire. He's really a guru. He really played the game.
First down, Jake, as I try to bounce back. Green Bay Packers. Jair Alexander has become the top-paid corner in the league with an $84 million extension. What's the trend football fans are having to adjust to seeing?
Big-time money. Stacey, what fans are having to adjust to is the fact that the money is changing, especially at these premier positions. Usually you see these high-dollar amounts going to the quarterbacks, right? And we've seen the quarterback market expand like crazy. I mean, now we're seeing, you know, $45 million per year deals that are fully guaranteed. Deshaun Watson's contract, and it's only going up. And other contracts and other positions, you know, traditionally have gone up as well, and they make a steady, slow increase that is far below what a quarterback makes. Well, now it's not just the defensive end that's slowly, the pass rusher that's slowly catching up to the quarterback money, but now you're having receivers, cornerbacks, these premier positions are drastically going up in their price point. And I think for a lot of fans, Stacey, they're looking at it and going, oh my gosh, this is getting outrageous. This is getting out of control. Well, the truth is that that's how much business the NFL is making. These contracts are not going up if business is not going up. And so as you see these premier positions continue to get highlighted and continue to be so incredibly important in the NFL, you're going to see those contracts continue to rise, because in order to combat the quarterback, you've got to be able to have great pass rushers. You've got to be able to have great cornerbacks. And Jaire Alexander is one of those great cornerbacks in the NFL right now. And yes, it is eye-popping to see these numbers right now, but it's just the market has exploded at all of the premier positions.
From the 425, Stacey should start making up siblings for all rookies you interview. Lean into it a little and see if any of them bite. Yes.
Next rookie
to debut. Hey, so your sister mentioned that blah, 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 and just see what he does. Does he say? Is he confused? Does he lean into it? Does he just panic?
They say they're an only child.
We'll all decide that day, like, okay, do we say this person has a brother and do we ask about the brother? We all have to be on the same page.
The 360 said, you did it for the clout.
I absolutely did it. Of course. I do everything for the clout. They said, George's brother is Brian.
Oh!
Stacey's boyfriend. That's exactly who it is. George's brother, Brian. We all know George's brother, right?
Of course.
Second down. Jake, is Drew Brees really contemplating a return to playing?
Okay. Drew Brees, there was a report out there that we talked about on Friday, right? That Drew Brees is most likely not going to return to his NBC role. And there's a lot of speculation about that. And Drew Brees put out a tweet and it says, despite speculation from media about my future this fall, I am currently undecided. I may work for NBC. I may play football again. I may focus on business and philanthropy. I may train for the pickleball tour, senior golf tour, coach my kids, or all of the above. I'll let you know. And people took this and said, Drew Brees is contemplating returning to football. No, he's not. He is not contemplating returning to football, okay? I would be shocked to see Drew Brees at this point return to football. One, because physically, he was having a hard time sustaining his ability to stay healthy throughout the season and to throw the football down the field. As the season progressed, his arm strength got worse and worse and worse. And I even had a discussion with Drew Brees about this and how much he tried to overcome some of the physical challenges that he was facing throughout the last 3 years of his career. He's not going to come back to play football, okay? I would be very surprised if that was the case. And the New Orleans Saints would be the one team that you would look at and say, yeah, he's got a great chance to come back and play there. But Dennis Allen, who's the head coach of the Saints, he was asked about it and said, yeah, I just think that's all speculation. So with Drew Brees, I think what is going on is very much like Tom Brady, Stacey. You remember when Adam Schefter and everybody else leaked out Tom Brady's unretirement before his unretirement?
Yes.
And Tom Brady came back and said, no, I'm still retired, and I'll let you know if anything changes. And then a week later, he unretired. I just think that this information got out before Drew Brees wanted it to get out, and therefore saying, hey, I will let you know my future on my terms, but I'll be curious to see what Drew Brees does. I'll be surprised if he does walk away from the NBC gig. However, maybe he went through that schedule and said, you know what, I enjoyed my family time more than I did, you know, the time spent away from them in this studio role. Drew Brees has made plenty of money. This isn't about trying to find the next job. I think this is just about Drew Brees trying to figure out what he wants to do with his time and with the rest of his life with his family.
Third down. The Seahawks will be entering phase 3 of OTAs very soon. So who needs this time more than any other Seahawk?
To me, without question, it's Drew Lock. Drew Lock needs this time more than any other Seahawk. Why? I'll give you a couple reasons. Number one, just needs to be inundated with this environment here in Seattle, right? He needs to be able to soak up all of that, you know, positive work environment that he is going to be in every single day and that he has been in with Pete Carroll and John Schneider. And I've heard that, you know, Drew Lock is enjoying every bit of this. That has been such a huge difference for him here in Seattle than it was in his time in Denver, which is great. But also learning and understanding what the expectations for him as a player is, how he operates at the quarterback position, what they want him to do, how they want him to fix some of the weaknesses in his game, and how they're going to best set him up for success. So the next, you know, phase three is they start going up against the defense and they actually start practicing in a somewhat real manner. Now it's Drew Locke's opportunity to get not only learn the system, but now to put it out to practice. Now to go up against the defense and to actually make reads and to make decisions and to show that this organization can trust him and his decision-making ability. Also to develop the chemistry with Shane Waldron, with this offense, and with the skill position players that he will be throwing to. So this is a very important time for Drew Locke. Geno Smith has been here. He knows this offense. He knows what the expectations are from Pete Carroll and this offensive staff. Drew Locke is learning all of this and trying to grow through this, and this is a very, very important time before you get to training camp.
Fourth down. All right, I asked George Kirby about a brother that he didn't have, which I think we need to correct some articles. But what is a lie you told? George Kirby corrected me, but what is a lie you told that you had to roll with?
A lie that I told that I have to roll with.
A lie you told that you had to roll with. You realized you dug too deep, you were in it, and you were like, I have to make this my reality now.
Whew. A lie that I had to roll with. I would say that a lie that I have said in the past for being late to class one day was that I got into a car accident. I had class checkers, and they told my coaches, right? So you're in college, and with athletes, they'll typically have class checkers that go around. And if you're not in class when they show up, they will report that. And then if you're not there, you'll have 5 a.m. Lyft. And this isn't just like, oh, you're working out early. Dang, that stinks. No, like, they are trying to murder you. Okay, they are trying to make life difficult. They're trying to get you to throw up. Like, these workouts are the absolute worst. And so my coach texted me and said, hey, why aren't you in class? And I was like, oh man, what do I do? I really
don't
want
to. I got into a car accident.
And luckily for my case, I had someone who like dinged my car really bad in a parking lot. And
so, I
used a picture of that as evidence, and I was able to get away with it.
Okay, thankfully didn't have to do this whole thing where they're like, are you okay? Do we need to take you to a hospital? And
then you have
to just keep the lie alive.
Yeah, no, they asked that. I said, no, I'm okay. It just, you know, I had to get stopped.
They're like, we'll send you to the trainers. We looked at you. No, I swear I'm fine. I'm really okay.
It wasn't bad.
It's weird. We can't see anything wrong with them.
Yeah, I still feel guilty about it to this day.
Of course you do.
But missing that 5 a.m. lift...
Don't regret that at all. All right, it's Jake and Stacey. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app. Coming up next, Pat Bev taking issue with Chris Paul.
This is The Timeline
with Jake and Stacey.
Brought to you by 1-800-DUIOA.
This hour of Jake and Stacey's brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. It is The Timeline, bringing you the top stories you're going to hear in sports on your own timeline. If you saw Pat Bev and Chris Paul trending, you already know why. So first story here for The Timeline, the Suns lose in embarrassing fashion Game 7 to the Mavs. Congratulations to the Mavs for advancing. But the Suns, the best team in the regular season, couldn't get it done when it mattered most. And the feud between Pat Bev and Chris Paul has continued. Oh, so we'll
it is
go
glorious.
To this cut number 9 with a very unique insult for CP3.
Man, CP can't guard nobody, man. Everybody in NBA
he
know
can't
that.
Guard,
everybody
he can't
know
guard
that.
Anybody.
What we call them? Cone. You know what you do with cones? Like when in the summertime, you got a cone. You make a move. What does the cone do?
Stay still.
Exactly. He's a cone. Stop playing, man.
I have a much higher opinion on Chris Paul than does Pat Bev. However, I laughed out loud and listened to that cut multiple times when I heard it.
How can you not laugh out loud? That was amazing. Also, do you hear Mike Greenberg? He was so excited to jump in on that conversation. Can we listen to it one more time? Listen to how quick Mike Greenberg jumps into this when Pat Bev asks what a cone does.
Man, CP can't guard nobody, man. Everybody in the NBA know
that.
Guard, everybody
can't
know
guard
that.
Anybody.
What we call them? Cone. You know what you do with cones? Like when in the summertime, you got a cone. You make a move. What does the cone do?
Stay still.
Exactly. Yeah. He's a cone. Stop playing, man.
He's like, yes, I got it. I got it. Yes. Now, in this, I love some pettiness in terms of a rivalry. I mean, obviously, Chris Paul can guard somebody. Now, he's not known as a great defender like Pat Beverly is, or at least one of the most annoying defenders that is out there. And Pat Beverly takes real pride in that. And, you know, what I would say to Pat Beverly is, can you score like Chris Paul can? I mean, of course not. But despite the fact, I mean, this is some A1 grade A trash talk that we're seeing here from Pat Beverly to Chris Paul. When the man is down, he couldn't be any lower right now with an embarrassing game 7.
Well, and Pat Beverly obviously really upset, feeling like he gets called for everything and that Chris Paul never gets called for anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of the issue already, is feeling like, yeah, well, but he gets every call.
Yeah, but Pat Beverly also has a reputation.
Well, no, that's exactly right.
So, like, you can't complain about someone getting calls and you don't, because you know what, Pat? You have fouled a lot in your career. So you know what people are going to do? They're going to be quick to call fouls on you. Right? I mean, it's just the truth. That's what's going to happen. And Chris Paul, yeah, he has a slyness about, you know, the things that he gets away with. A lot of the superstars in this league do, and it drives me crazy. I think it's part of the reason why the NBA product isn't as good as it used to be, as it had been in the past. But despite that, I just love the trash talk. You know, and I think Pat Beverly is one of those players that truly does not care what anybody else thinks about him. Therefore, he says whatever the heck comes to his mind, and he has no regrets whatsoever. And I think that's one of the things that I genuinely really like about him, is having a character like that in the NBA or in sports in general. Someone that you genuinely love to hate just because they play that role so well, and they embrace it. There's always room for somebody like that in professional sports.
All right, next story here, from professional sports to amateur sports. Peak Arkansas fan on the third base sideline at an Arkansas baseball game helped with a disruption in the stands. What was the disruption, you ask? A raccoon, a wild raccoon, was running around in the stands, and this Arkansas fan caught it with his bare hands and then lifted it up to the rest of the audience. Can I just tell you, by the way, listen.
I mean, what the heck is going on?
I met for a happy hour with a friend on Friday,
okay?
And we're catching up. I haven't talked to her for forever. And she, I hope she doesn't mind me sharing this story. I just realized that. I like forget I'm on air. I'm doing it anyway. So we're catching up, and she mentions that she took her dog out, and it's like midnight. She's like looking at her phone, whatever. She's not paying attention. And the dog, she hears like a cry. Like the dog is like screaming and freaking out. The dog runs back. A raccoon is chasing the dog. There is a raccoon out. It's midnight. She freaks out. She tries to get the dog inside. And then
is this like a smaller dog?
I think so. And okay. Then her partner's looking at her, and she goes, "I'm sorry," and shuts the door. And my friend is still outside.
It on yes! her.
And the raccoon bites her. The raccoon bites her.
Oh,
so
no.
Then, of course, she has to go to urgent care or the hospital or whatever to get looked at to see if she has rabies. And they ask her, "Did the raccoon look angry?" And
what?
Apparently, that's something they ask. Did the raccoon look angry? And if you say no, or that like the raccoon looked normal, they're much more hesitant, I think, to give you vaccines, because it's such an intense process getting babies vaccines.
So what did she say? Did she say
yes? She said,
yes?
"I don't think so." I mean, he didn't seem angry.
But it literally attacked her. I'm sorry, what?
I can't get over your partner shutting the door on you and being like, sorry, you're on your own. Like,
wow.
Now I know what would happen in a zombie apocalypse. I know exactly how this would go down.
Yeah, well, whoever that is, remind me to never be around them.
That's exactly
in a crisis.
Right. You're going, like, to leave me behind.
Exactly, 100%. I mean, how is that relationship still going after that? I don't know how you recover.
That's love, man.
If I had done that to my wife and she got bit by a raccoon.
Oh, you would never.
My life would be over. I mean, it would be terrible. It'd be like every little thing. It'd be like, you remember when you closed that door on me and left me out there?
In a million years, let my partner forget it. Like, I would remind my husband every day that happened.
Oh my
every
gosh,
day
that would
my
be
life.
That would be unbelievable. Oh my gosh.
I was going to ask.
Believe that, but that is peak Arkansas.
Okay,
to not only have a raccoon running around, but to have
pick
somebody
it up with your bare hands.
Yes, and to show it off to
this
everyone.
Is correct. Yes.
Wow.
Which
that's
is
incredible.
My question: what would be peak Seattle if it happened in the stands at a game?
Peak Seattle.
What would be something where you'd be like, of course.
Okay.
There's nothing quite the same.
No.
There's nothing quite the same.
Not anything like that that's, like, genuinely cool. Like, you've got somebody that's just crazy enough to pick up a raccoon and to show it off to everybody. I don't think there's anything like that here. I mean, could you think of one thing? What are they going to do? Show a cup of coffee to everybody?
Right, catch it in a cup of coffee.
Right.
Yeah.
There's nothing, and I'm kind of jealous of that, to be quite honest with you.
The video is really funny. I hope the raccoon is okay.
Oh my gosh!
But that everyone is okay and no one got bit or scratched. But I laughed out.
Stacey, our fans are the best.
Oh yeah,
our listeners are the best.
Yep.
We just had someone tweet at us. They said, "Don't let George Kirby lie to you. I've obtained photographic evidence of Kirby and his brother, who grew up a Mets fan, and it's George Kirby and his family all together. And there's a Photoshop picture of George Kirby with
a
mustache." Right,
like a cartoon mustache in a Mets uniform. I knew it. I knew it. I knew that that was the case.
Oh, it's so good.
All right. I wanted to take another look at the schedule. So I'm not done looking at the schedule. And we already looked at it and we were like, hey, so what's going to be the hardest game? Go ahead and pick what game would be the most fun. Now I want to look at the It's Personal rankings. Rankings. Brady, I'm going to make you choose one, too. We're going
like
to look
it.
At the schedule and we're going to figure out which game is personal for you. I need that win. It's personal. I can already guess what many of you may be saying, so try to think of one or two more. That's next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Jake and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right, it's the It's Personal rankings. I want you to look at the Seahawks 2022 schedule. I don't want you to tell me what game you're most looking forward to, what one you and your friends are going to. I don't care about that. What I care about is what's personal for you. What's personal for you? You look at the schedule and you say, you know what? You know what? I want this win over this team more than anything because it's personal. It's our It's Personal rankings, taking another look at the most anticipated, trickiest, and most exciting games on the Seahawks schedule. Let's start with you, Jake, and you have five.
Oh, you want to start with me?
You have five. I think you should go in reverse order, though, or you should not say your number one first.
Yeah, I'm going to go 5-1, okay?
And
I'm going to go through this quick, okay?
Okay.
Number five to me, personal, is the Tampa Bay Bucks. For obvious reasons, it's Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
Super Bowl 49.
Of course.
Would love to get some revenge, even in a small, small way, in Germany, which we are going to be there, right? We're going to be there to watch this, Stacey, because the station is going to book our trip there.
If we keep saying it, it'll happen.
That's right.
That's what I've always believed.
I'm pretty sure that they're really close to buying those tickets.
I think I've already ordered all of our German costumes. What are they called? Lederhosens?
Lederhosens,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, yes. Brady's giving me a thumbs up. I'm really excited about it. Continue, Jake.
Yeah, so anyways, that to me would be personal.
Track.
Okay, that would be personal. Number four, the 49ers, right? Personal rivalry, and obviously you would love to continue to see Pete Carroll's dominance over the 49ers continue, especially against Kyle Shanahan. Number three, the Rams, because I put the Rams ahead of the 49ers because they have struggled recently, the Seahawks have, against the Rams more so than the 49ers, and I believe it just raises it to another personal level. You want to beat those guys so bad. And then you also have Bobby Wagner, who went to the Rams, and it's not a personal thing, right? I mean, the Seahawks moved on from Bobby Wagner. It's personal, though, with the Rams. But Bobby Wagner did say that there's a little personal aspect to this for him. So I think that number three, that's a more personal game.
Okay.
Number two?
Yes.
Number two. Now, this may be a lot of people's number one, but it's number two for me, and I'll tell you why. Number two, it's the Denver Broncos, right? I mean, you got Russell Wilson coming into town.
Of course.
It doesn't get much more personal than that, okay? This is a they're not even going to be a year removed. They are going to be months, right, removed from this trade and how it ended and everything else. I mean, there's going to be so much emotion that is tied into this game. But it's number two for me because you want to know why? This is personal vendettas.
There you go.
Stacey, this is not, you know, like you said.
I don't want anyone making sense.
The storyline.
I want to know why it's personal.
My personal vendetta is, number one, it's against the New York Jets. I have circled that calendar. And I am coming for you, New York. You want to know why? Because you cut me my rookie year, all right? Yeah, you gave me a chance, and you gave me my opportunity, and I got to hang around, you know, for a little bit longer.
Sure.
But you know what? You ended up cutting me, so it's personal. It's all personal, and that's why they're number one for me in my personal rankings,
personal
the ones
rankings.
That I am looking forward to the most and want to see the Seahawks win.
All right, Brady Bones, you have two. What are your two?
You want me to go... second to one.
Second to one. I want to hear the top most it's personal one.
All right.
Last.
Second, so my least of the two, Bears versus Seahawks.
Okay.
Because I went last season to it. It was a great game. I loved it. But the reason why it's personal for me is because the game-winning touchdown was scored by Mr. Blown-Out Knee, Jimmy Graham, striking back at us. And he blew out his knee with us. He didn't do really anything for us.
Brady, you said this to the wrong person, my friend. Stacey Ross.
Very pro-Jimmy show.
Oh, this
Ian Curtis.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I don't say I dislike him. Just the fact that he scored it.
You know what? It doesn't have to make sense. Brady, what's number one?
What's number one?
Number one for my personal I want us to win is against the Raiders.
My mom,
born pretty much in Oakland, California, grew up a Raiders fan.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she moved up here, had family, had me, became a Mariners and Seahawks fan, but she still holds a big soft spot for her Raiders down there in Oakland, technically Las Vegas now. But
so there's a lot of family trash talk that is going to go down between
It's just
Seahawks
me and my mom. Me and my mom are the only two that really care about sports.
Okay.
Yeah. And the fact that Raiders have a solid roster this year compared to previous years, they actually have a chance and I don't like it.
Well, I wish you a healthy, fun day of trash talk.
Okay, that's great. I like it. This has been a good personal ranking.
Yes.
I like it
I'm
so
gonna
far.
I'm going to look at the text line very quickly.
What you got?
We've got Christian, the 206, saying... his personal game against the Giants. I can't believe they beat us the way they did the last time we played them. I've been thinking about it for a while now, and I still be mad.
Yeah, he said that. He said that about the Saints game too. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. So I would say number two would be Denver. Obviously, it's that relationship. Same reason most people would have Denver at number one, and I completely understand that. I'm going to be very, 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 very boring and say that my number one, it's personal. My number one, it's personal, is obviously going to be against the LA Rams. It's obviously going to be against the LA Rams. And I'm going to go ahead and take week 18. I'm going to take week one and week 18, closing out the season with a win over the Rams. I'm anticipating they'll probably represent the NFC West in the playoffs and will finish pretty high given the lack of strength in the NFC as a whole. It is so easy to hate the Rams. I hate the Rams. I hate their fans. I hate their fans because they don't know the Rams exist half the time. And I hate that LA is so sunny, but I also hate that everyone in LA reminds you they're from LA regularly.
Correct.
Like, there's so much about it that I don't like that I'm going with Rams.
Okay.
Finale, regular season finale is my number one.
Wow.
It's personal game.
This is very revealing. I mean, I feel like we got to know each other a lot better. This was therapeutic, actually.
Well, because everything else, like, I actually like a lot of teams. So you can't really do it's personal.
True. You are a genuine NFL fan.
Yeah. I genuinely enjoy. I also play fantasy football, so I can't have an it's personal game when I've got, like, Mahomes as my quarterback. And it's not really personal with the Chiefs. It's personal with the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
100%. With the Rams, it's personal.
Yeah, and I think that when you're looking at the aspect, you know, when you're you were talking about 18, week one and week 18, when you're facing Russell Wilson and Bobby Wagner, man, that would sting a little bit if those two guys were going to the playoffs and, mm-hmm. and this season is not what you want it to be, you know, in terms of them not being able to get to the playoffs and most likely that this team will not. But you also have to remember that those teams that they went to are set up and that's the expectation for them. Whereas for the Seahawks, the expectation is the developmental process. If they exceed those expectations, that's amazing. That's fantastic. But really, this season is about developing for the Seahawks. And I think that that is important to keep into context as you go through the season and evaluate this team. But my gosh, wouldn't it be great if the Seahawks were able to beat those teams and, you know, make those personal vendettas that we all have it just makes it a little sweeter.
All right. We are taking you around the diamond thanks to the Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business. The Mariners continue their road trip with a series against the Toronto Blue Jays. Chris Flexen takes the mound for Seattle against a familiar face. Yusei Kikuchi getting the start for Toronto. First pitch is at 4:07 p.m. Pre-game show starts at 3 p.m. right here on Seattle Sports Station. And that's Around the Diamond brought to you by Shane Company. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app. Coming up, I got some roster moves for the Mariners, plus looking at our heroes of the weekend. That's next.